Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Then verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Christ is all and in all. Now this chapter heading is the true center of Christian life. Christ is the true center of Christian life. There is no other center. There is no other rock on which we build. There's no difference, the scripture said in verse 11, there's no difference arising from a different country, from a different condition, from a different circumstance in life. It is as much duty as one to the other to be and to live a holy life. This privilege and grace is given to all, irrespective of which country they are from, irrespective of their circumstance in life. Christ is all. Just three words, Christ is all. But as we look at these three words, we're going to see how rich they are. Actually, as I've mentioned, this is the essence of Christianity. This is the foundation of Christianity. Christ is all. How glad our hearts will be if we can see this and understand this and agree and go along with this. But if we don't understand this, we've still got a lot to learn. Christ is all. Today we are coming to the end of our study on holiness. We need to remember, in holiness, it's Christ that we are aiming to be like. Christ is all. We must grasp that without an understanding of Christ, we will never realize and attain holiness. A right knowledge of Christ is essential, and we must have a knowledge of sanctification as well as justification. This is a quote from J.C. Ryle. He that follows after holiness will make no progress unless he gives Christ his rightful place. Christ must be enthroned on our hearts. He must be first place. Christ must be all. Let's look at some points. Christ is all in all the councils concerning mankind. We see that there was a time when this earth that we live on didn't exist, and the mountains as though they look very big and very solid now, as we look at Mount Kenya, and if we look at the sea, it's vast. If we look at the stars in the heaven, there are so many. But once they didn't exist. They were not. And man, as though man now claims to know so much and have so much knowledge, but there was a time when man was not yet formed. Man wasn't even on this earth. And where was Christ then? Even then, Christ was God. He was equal with God. Even then, he was the beloved Son of the Father. And the scripture says that you have loved me before the foundation of the earth. So Christ existed before the foundation of the earth. He's eternal. Even then, in those times, before the earth was formed, he was foreordained to be the Savior. Foreordained to be the Savior. And believers were chosen in him. There came a time when the earth was created, and the sun and the moon and the stars, and the sea and the land, and all the inhabitants, and they were brought into being, and out of chaos and confusion came order. In the last, God formed man from the dust of the ground. And where was Christ then? Hear what the scripture says. All these things were made by him, and nothing was made without Christ. By him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. And the Lord laid the foundations of the earth with his own hands. When he prepared the heavens, Christ was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea a decree and said, this far and no further, Christ was there. This is the one who we worship, the Creator. He's mighty in splendor. And then there came a day when sin entered the world. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and they fell. They lost their holy nature. They forfeited their friendship with God. They lost favor with God, and they became guilty and corrupt, and they were helpless and hopeless sinners. Sin had come between them and between God and them, between the Holy Father in heaven. And if God had dealt with them according to their sin, there would have been no hope for them, only death and everlasting ruin. But where was Christ when they fell? And in that very day, he revealed to our trembling parents as the only hope of salvation. That very day, he told them the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. The Savior would be born of a woman, and should overcome the devil and win for sinful man an entrance into eternal life. Christ was held up as the true light to the world on the very day that man fell. There's never any other name which has been held up. Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the one who saves the lost. There is no other name by which we can be saved. We consider the state of the world at that time after Adam and Eve, and the world did not know God, and the world by wisdom knew not God. Except for a few despised Jews in the corner of the earth, the whole world was dead in ignorance and dead in sin. And where was Christ in that time? He left the glory he had from all eternity with the Father, and he came down into the earth to provide salvation. He took the nature upon him, and he was born, and as a man, he did the will of God perfectly. Perfectly. The will that we had left undone, he did perfectly. And he, as a man, he suffered on the cross, and he died. He bought everlasting righteousness for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He opened a fountain of cleansing for all of our uncleanliness. He ascended to God's right hand, and he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting that his enemies should be made his footstool. And he sits there now, offering salvation to the lost, to his elect, all those that would come to him, he will save. He's interceding for them. He's managing by God's appointment, by the Trinity's appointment. He is managing everything that concerns the salvation of souls. So this is who Christ is. There, let me tell you a few more points. There's a time coming when sin will be cast out of this earth, cast out of this world. Wickedness shall not always flourish unpunished. Satan will not always reign. Creation will not always groan, being burdened. There will come a time when there's a restitution of all things. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Christ himself shall be king. Christ shall be king. He shall return to the earth and make all things new. He shall come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and the kingdoms of this world shall become his. The heathen shall be given unto him as an inheritance. The utmost parts of the earth shall become his possession. To him, to our Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And his dominion shall be an everlasting dominion. Everlasting, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom shall never be destroyed. There is a day coming when all men shall be judged. The sea shall give up their dead, and death and hell shall deliver up their dead. All those that sleep in the grave, they shall come forth, and they shall be judged according to their works. And who is the judge? Christ himself is the judge. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. We must all appear before the Lord. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will receive the reward for the things that we have done in our body according to as we have done, whether good or bad. See how mighty the Lord is, how holy he is, how worthy he is. The scripture says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors the Son not, honors not the Father. That's John chapter 5 and verse 23. So some think that it's enough to just give the Son of God a little bit of honor, to give Christ a little bit of honor, a little bit of reverence, a little bit of respect. But we see, and we've seen, how eternal the Lord is, how he brought redemption, how he is the judge. All these things, Christ is all. Surely we would be wise to take this to heart. They've not been revealed to us or written in vain. You see, Christianity is about living with Christ, about honoring Christ, about worshiping Christ, about fellowshipping with Christ, knowing Christ Jesus, is to know the eternal Father who sent him. And knowing Christ is eternal life. The Apostle Paul makes a statement and he says that he may know Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Let us never forget that Christ is all. Christ is all. And it's in all the books of the Bible, all the books that make up the Bible, in every part of the Old Testament, Christ is found. In every part of the New Testament, Christ is found. When we look at the picture of the sacrifices, the lamb that was slain, it's a picture of Christ. All the judges, Joshua and David and Gideon and Jephthah and Samson, these were a picture of Christ. They were an emblem of Christ. Yes, they were weak and they were unstable and they were faulty men, but they were all meant to remind the tribes of Israel of a far greater deliverer that was yet to come. All the prophets spoke about, from Isaiah to Malachi, they spoke about him. For example, in the book of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It's speaking of Christ. Then in the Gospels preach of the living Christ. And then in the book of Acts, again, Christ is preached. If we read the Bible, Christ is the key which will unlock the Word of God. Some people, they complain that they don't understand the Bible because they don't read the Bible with the key. The key is Christ Jesus. It was said of Charles Spurgeon that he could take almost any scripture and he could find Christ in that scripture and preach on Christ. And there is a thread through the entire Bible from beginning to end, and that is Christ Jesus. Some people, when they read the Bible, they only read the Bible as nothing more than a good book with moral precepts and good advice. But the Bible is not just that. In the Bible, we find Christ Jesus. A Bible without Christ, it won't be of any help to us. You won't really understand it, and it won't have the depth of meaning. It's like a man who studies the solar system and looks at everything except the sun. The sun is the center of the solar system, and Christ is the center of the Bible. Now, by saying Christ is all, we do not negate the working of the Trinity, the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's very clear that the action of election is of the Father. knowing, brethren, beloved, that your election is of God. Our election is of God. Or let's take this scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together with Christ. That's Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. And sanctification is by the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So there's a perfect harmony. There's a unison and there's an action between the three persons of the Trinity. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, cooperate and work together to deliver us from hell and from the grave. The Father is merciful, the Son is merciful, and the Holy Spirit is merciful. The same three that said in the beginning, let us create, also said, let us redeem and save. It is clear that everybody that gets to heaven or reaches heaven will ascribe greatness to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three persons and one God. Yet it's very clear that Scripture, in the wisdom of the Trinity, gives Christ the specific task as the Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ is the living Word through whom God is made known. And he is the one, the only one who died for the sin of man. Christ is the great cornerstone on whom the whole plan of salvation rests. Christ is the door through which sinners can come to God. Christ is the root into which the elect sinners are engrafted into. Christ is the only way to the Father. Christ always leads souls to pardon and to peace. In short, when we look at the scripture, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. I want to say, so that we clearly understand, that when I say Christ is all, I do not shut out the work of the Father and the work of the Spirit. Now, let's look at the role of Christ, the sinner's justification before God. Through him alone we have peace with God. By him alone can we come into the presence of God and stand in the presence of God without fear. We have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. That's Ephesians 3 and verse 12. We come to the Father pleading no other merit, pleading no other ground on which we can stand except this one fact: Christ died for me on the cross. That is the ground that I come to the Father. I trust and I believe him. His name is the only name that can grant me entrance into heaven. If we come apart from Christ, we are lost. We will not be allowed to enter. The mark of the blood of Jesus is the only mark that can save us. We can clearly see that Christ is all in salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. No man or no woman can grow in holiness unless he or she abides in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the root which every believer draws their strength. As a believer, I must not only receive Christ Jesus as my Lord, but I must walk with him. I must be rooted in him. I must be grounded in him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Do you desire to be holy? Then the manna from heaven must be your daily food. Christ must be the rock from which you drink daily the living water. Do you want to be holy? Then you must always be looking to Jesus Christ, looking to the cross, looking at his example, and taking him for the pattern of your life. Your face will shine when you look to Jesus Christ. Look less at yourself and look more to Christ Jesus, and you will find that all those troubling sins, all those things that you found so hard to shake off, you will shake them off, they will drop off you, and your eyes will be enlightened more and more every day as you look to him. We can never try to be holy without the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to Christ first. He shall give us a sanctifying spirit. We must learn to say, as the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Christ is all, and he's our very present help as we live in this fallen world, in this present time in which we live now. We all face many sorrows, we face many difficulties. We are weak and we are frail, and we have our share of bereavements, we have our share of disappointments, we all have our cross to bear. All of us have unconverted relatives to bear with patiently. We all have persecutions to endure, and we all have a death that we will one day have to die. And who is sufficient for these things? What shall give us strength to bear all these things? There is only consolation in one, and that is Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 1. The consolation, there is Christ. Christ is the answer. Our Lord is the God of all comfort. There's no one that has sympathy like him. Our Lord says to us, fear not, for I am your salvation. He is the reason that we can be patient. We are patient because we expectantly look to his coming, to his second return. This world is not my eternal home. The treasure that I have on this earth is nothing compared to the treasure of being with my Lord. Christ is coming, and that is such a comfort. The scripture says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. J.C. Ryle closes this chapter and he says, let us learn to strive and do more and more in him. Let us lean on him. Let us rest on him. Let us call on him. Let us abide on him. That is the key to being a holy believer. By doing so, our lives will prove that we fully realize that Christ is in all, And by doing so, we'll feel a great peace, and we will attain more and more holiness, without which we will not see the Lord. Amen.